السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. ما شاء الله اللہ تبارک و تعالی ایکسپٹ یو اعتکاف نحمده و نصلی علی رسوله الکریم اما بعد ان اللہ و ملائکته یصلون علی النبی یا ایها الذین آمنوا صلوا علیہ وسلموا تسلیما اللهم صل علی سیدنا محمد وعلی آل سیدنا محمد مبارک وسلم. Throughout the world where Eid is tomorrow, then the people who are in Aitikaf will be completing their Aitikaf at the time of sunset. Generally the trend is that the person comes out of Aitikaf and then believes that now not much effort has to be made because I spent my time in Aitikaf. So now next year we will see again, we might sit down and make some ibadah, zikr, tilawat and get forgiveness of our sins and get connected with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala again. Generally that is what happens. We all went through that phase and we're still going through that phase, that when we go to some dini gathering or when we go to some dini program, or when we sit in Aitikaf, or when we go to the khanqas, or when we go ijtimaat, or wherever it is, then for those days that we are there, we get a little bit of boost. But then the moment we step out, all the whisperings of shaitan begins. And in fact these days, even in the masjids, whisperings of shaitan don't stop. Many of us, we know that in the masjid we engage in ghibat, we engage in other kinds of sins, which is multiplied because it is the month of Ramadan and the person is in Aitikaf. So it is multiplied. In fact, instead of the nekis and blessings being multiplied, the person's sins are being multiplied. Because if he makes ghibat outside, it is not as bad, it is very bad. It is like eating the flesh of dead brother, but not as bad as making it inside the masjid. And making it inside our masjid is not that bad as making it in the Kaaba Sharif or Haram Sharif or Masjid Nabawi alayhi salatu wasalam. So it multiplies. As the nisbat increases, it multiplies. The same with the blessings also, it multiplies. When the nisbat increases, it multiplies. The nisbat with your masjid or our masjid or the masajid of the world, we get a certain amount of sawab for reading the tasbihat, for reading the Quran Sharif, for making namaz with jamaat. And then that same namaz, then we make it in Masjid Nabawi alayhi salatu wasalam, we get 50,000 times more sawab. And that same namaz we make, or that same tasbih we make in the Haram Sharif in Makkah Mukarrama, then it's 100,000 times more sawab. That same charity, 100,000 times more sawab. So it's multiplied because of the nisbat that it has. From this we learn that it is not the stones, it is not the carpets, it is not the building, it is not anything else which increases the rewards, it is what nisbat it has, what connection it has and with whom it has that connection. So this Aitikaf, being a sunnat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it had that connection with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Each and every person who was sitting in Aitikaf anywhere in the world, if any person had to ask him that why are you sleeping in the masjid, why have you got your bedding here, why have you secluded yourself for these 10 days or 15 days or 20 days, 10 days or 20 days or 30 days, then he can have only one reply, and that is that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made Aitikaf in Ramadan and I am emulating that amal of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So this amal of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is being emulated. So therefore there is that connection again with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And then again it's the month of Ramadan. Then it is the last 10 nights, amongst which is Laylatul Qadr. Then it was the revelation of the Quran Sharif. So all these nisbats that it has with that i'tikaf, that is why the rewards are multiplied. As one brother was saying, that you mentioned about two Hajj and two Umrahs, that Allah Ta'ala gives you the sawab of two Hajj and two Umrahs if you make sunnat i'tikaf. So if it's two Hajj and two Umrahs, then like that you get the sawab of Nafil Hajj, even if you make the Ishraq Namaz. After the Ishraq Namaz, the person has got hope that Allah Ta'ala will give him the sawab of a Nafil Hajj and Umrah. So what is the difference? So that you can get every day, and this you have to go 10 days into i'tikaf to get the sawab of two Hajj and two Umrahs. So Allah Ta'ala put that reply into my mind, because I didn't read in any kitab that what can be the reply to that. That sawab that we are getting, or we can get daily, it is on those days of the year which is not the days of Ramadan. But in Ramadan, the sawab of all the nafil is infused to that of farz. And the sawab of farz is multiplied 70 times. Now imagine how much of multiplication. Our calculators will fail. So this Hajj and Umrah also, which you are getting sawab of now, is that of Ramadan. And that, as if that ibadat is multiplied by the nekis of Ramadan. And then again we know that the person, if he makes one Umrah in the month of Ramadan, then it is stated that it is as if he has made Umrah in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the sawab that he gets. So here also, now this person is getting the two Hajj and two Umrahs, that multiplied sawab, multiplied rewards. But these multiplications don't make much sense to us, because it's not the currency of this world. It's not the currency of this world. So therefore, if somebody says that you're going to get so many thousand times rewards, or so many thousand times it is increased, so it doesn't make very much sense, because then we think that these are talks of the ulama. They keep telling us you get sawab, sawab, sawab. But this is that sawab that will be the currency of the akhirat. The moment the person's eyes closes, then it will be how much sawab you have brought, how much rewards. Where's your currency? The currency of this world is not going to work there. The rand, dollars and pounds is not going to work there. The currency of the akhirat is sawab and reward. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is increasing that, and that is the reason why the Sahaba-i-Kiram, the Awliya-i-Kiram, they eagerly looked forward to this ibadat in these nights and days, and they made i'tikaf. Because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala increases it so much. So just as it is increased, the sawab is increased, the sin also is multiplied when the person is committing it in Ramadan, then he's committing it in the last 10 nights or days of Ramadan, and then he's committing inside the masjid, or is committing it in the odd nights of Ramadan. So as the nisbat increases, either the sins are multiplied or the sawab is multiplied. But because of our weakness, the ibadat that we make, we know that we cannot do justice. But look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's rahmatul lil alameen ishan, that he was rahmatul lil alameen, knowing the weakness of the ummah that was going to come. So he said the time will come when at the... First he mentioned other things also in other hadiths, that it will become difficult to practice on deen, will be like holding burning ash in your hands, burning coal, if the person has to hold in his hands. We know that it's how it's going to pain, how it's going to burn. So to practice on deen will become like that. Or the position of a person close to Qiyamah, when very close to Qiyamah, then at that time the person who will be making amal on deen, the person is got taluk with deen, he's got taluk with the masjid, he's practicing on the sunnahs of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then in many families his status will be nothing more than that of a dead donkey. in their sight, because of the modern ideas and because of the cultural heritage that they have had, or because of the backgrounds, or because of those homes not having had any kind of deen in, so they will look at those people who are going for namaz, making zikr, tilawat, ibadat. Their status will be that of a dead donkey, means that there will be nothing in their sight, it will be nothing. That person will be considered as absolutely useless in the family. If you ask the people how many children you got, they go, I got 5. What are they doing? Then they will talk about all those children who've got degrees, qualifications, and they earning a lot of money, and they in the high brackets. But that one son or that one daughter who is also educated to some extent is not a completely ignorant person, but is not in that modern way of thinking and line. The person is more occupied in namaz, in tilawat, zikr, and shuns television and movies and theatres and discos and cinemas and going to places of fitna. Say, no, I don't want to come there because place of fitna. We can get caught up in those fitnas. So when that person, that child, they will say, then there's one who is absolutely useless. He's a complete failure. He's a black sheep of the family. That child will be called black sheep of the family. But in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that is the child that will be held in high esteem. And the parents don't know that they're getting the risk and sustenance sometimes because of those children. The parents get risk and the sustenance because of those children who are pious. But they think it is because of those. So there's nothing wrong. Sharia doesn't say you mustn't have any degrees and qualifications. Many times I've said that we need scientists, we need philosophers, and we need doctors and engineers and everybody. But they must be first Muslims. So this i'tikaf which you made, it was a great ibadat. And the very fact that you were prepared to take this restriction that is placed, that you cannot step beyond the masjid boundary. And I explained, I think, in my very first talk, when you were entering i'tikaf, it seems as if it was just yesterday, that in some masjids of the world, the masjid area, which they say you must not step out of, is so small that it just makes you think that what made this person give up everything else and come and lock himself in the masjid where he can't even move 10 meters this way or that way. Because there are some masjids in the remote areas of India, Pakistan, where a person takes his own small house, a room, for example, which can accommodate 10-15 people, then he converts that to a masjid. He makes it waqf for masjid. So now masjid doesn't mean it has to be a lavish building with a big minaret and all that. If the person says that I'm making this area waqf for the masjid, so then that is waqf for masjid. Now whether it accommodates 10 people or 20 people, it becomes a masjid. That section which is demarcated as masjid. So there are many masajid like that, which can only accommodate 30 people, 20 people, and they have half a dozen of those kind of masjids in one village sometimes. So now this person who was outside, he had so much of space and he could travel from this end of the world to the other, but he gives up all that space. Or in his own home he had big rooms and very spacious lounge and comfortable bed and all the other facilities and amenities, but he gives up all that and he comes away into this small area, and now he's so concerned that I must not step out of it. Without necessity, if I put my leg out of there, then my i'tikaf will break. So what training was it giving all the time, that this small boundary which we were so concerned about? So when we go out now after the i'tikaf, we have to find out about the boundaries that Allah Ta'ala has placed on all our actions. To what limit can we go? We must determine the boundary. Then we have done a fair job with our i'tikaf. Then we have taken a lesson from this i'tikaf. That if we were so careful that in i'tikaf we were not prepared to step out one step out of the masjid area, even if he's the best of all friends that has come and is outside the masjid area and is going away, so we won't chase after him and go and stop him and talk to him. The person will shout from inside the masjid that, come here, I'm inside the masjid. The person is on his way to the toilet also, he doesn't want to stop and talk. He's going to the wuzu khana also, he doesn't want to stop and talk. So he was so concerned that this boundary, he must not go beyond that without any valid reason. So this is my message to all of you, that now when you are going out of it, then there are boundaries. Allah Ta'ala's hudud, Allah Ta'ala has placed restrictions. Everywhere has placed restrictions. That with women you can see certain women, you can talk to certain women, you can joke with certain women, you can hug and kiss certain women. But certain women Allah Ta'ala has prohibited. Even gazing at them is prohibited. Out of necessity, it is a different thing. A person is in a business and the person has to look at customers, there are ladies that are going to come to. Now at that time I've explained that the person must have a fleeting glance, that he must not look from head to toe and admire her beauty and say that I'm doing business. There he must look at her as he would look at the trees when he's driving. When he's driving, he passes trees, but he doesn't stop and start looking at each tree from head to toe. Or when he's driving and there's a truck in front of him, there's a truck behind him, and he says decline, and on the pavement right and on the pavement left, it's a narrow lane, many places you have to drive through, there's a single lane. So now there's a lot of women that are standing this side too, standing that side too, but it's going downhill and there's a truck behind and a truck in front. So at that time, what kind of gaze will he cast? Will he turn his head like that and look on the pavement? Or will he turn his head that side? Why won't he do that? Why there's a big ditch on the side there? So he will still look, because he has to be careful that nobody's running across and all that, but that glance is not going to be a lustful glance that the person normally casts like that. The person is concerned, is worried, is in fear that he must not hit into the truck in front, or the truck on the back mustn't hit into him, or he mustn't go off the road. So that is how the person, out of necessity, a person is a doctor and he has to see the patient. So now there, if we tell that person, no, you must close your eyes and see the patient, so what will happen to the patient? If you tell the surgeon, no, you must close your eyes and operate, because a ghair mahram woman. So we must not think that Shariat is very difficult and it's impossible. How can we in our times practice on this ayat, na'uzu billahi min zalik? Then it means that we are saying, oh Allah, you didn't know what condition some people will face 2000 years later. So therefore these ayat should have been made flexible, and you should have mentioned in the Quran Sharif that in the first century this will apply, in the second century this, in the third century that. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's laws are there for all times. But it is our problem that we do not find out, we do not educate ourselves, and then we say that it's very difficult. For example, many a times we get this problem where a girl, for example, is in parda, and now she gets married in a home where there are brother-in-laws living, there are cousins also there, it's a communal kind of, or extended family kind of living. So now they say, how can she all the time cover her face and cook and do? She'll have to be sitting in the room all the time. And some of them who don't have the proper knowledge, that's what they do also, and they create more problems. Whereas in those homes, then it is essential that she must wear loose fitting clothes and she must have a proper scarf. After that, it is the duty of those cousins and those brother-in-laws that they also must only talk what is essential, necessary. Otherwise, they must go about their own job and she can carry on doing whatever she has to do. And when you are crossing each other, lower your gaze and carry on. What is difficult in there? And there's protection in there from the fitnas that we know that the ummah is facing today. So there she will not have to cover her face all the time and run around, or the moment some brother-in-law came or cousin came, go and hide in the room. Day it will be the duty of both parties to lower their gazes and talk only that much which is essential. Otherwise it will lead to big fitnas. So this i'tikaf was a question of staying within the boundaries. Besides the other things, the nasihat that I am giving is this, that the whole i'tikaf was staying within the boundaries. And I mentioned it in one of my majlis, that every farm they have a boundary, they have a fence. Every home has its own boundary wall, boundary line. Every building we say that, which is your boundary. In everything there is a kind of a limit and a boundary. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala also, He addresses mankind and tells them what are the boundaries, that you must not cross over the boundaries. Tilka hududullah. He said, if you had to go to somebody's farm and you get all the animals together, and after that you address the animals, that, oh you sheep, cattle, oh you goats, this is the boundary line. It's very costly to erect fences these days, so we won't be putting any fence here. But this is the boundary line. But where we are going to spend so much on security and fencing and all those things. So I'm appealing to your good selves that please, the farm on the other side belongs to another farmer. So your grazing must come and stop here. Don't go beyond there. Which animal it would... That goat won't be a goat if it has to listen to us. That goat won't be a goat if it has to listen to us and stay within that boundary. Otherwise, it's not a goat. Then it's an intelligent human being. But if it's a goat, it'll still go that side. Whichever side is green pasture, it'll go there. You can give how much speeches you want. So then what is the difference between human beings, between us and between those animals? If they too cross those boundaries without any concern, whether it's jais or not jais, whether it's halal or haram, whether it is in the matter of women or in the matter of business or in the matter of other relationships or whatever activity of life it may be, if that person is unconcerned, that what are the limits? When it comes to entertainment, is unconcerned, what are the limits? As long as the nafs enjoys entertainment, so all that which will be placed after Ramadan now, in this month of December, so this person forgets that just a few days ago I was sitting in i'tikaf. Many of them will forget. And not only those who are in i'tikaf, even those who are fasting in Ramadan, then they forget. That just now, a few days ago, we were crying before Allah Ta'ala, asking forgiveness of sins and protection from all mischief and corruption and fitnas. Just a few days ago, we were remaining within the boundaries and within the limits placed by Sharia. We were so concerned about every aspect of our life. We were concerned that our fast must not break due to eating, drinking. The person forgets all that. Why? Because he is now crossing the boundaries that Allah Ta'ala has placed for entertainment. That there is entertainment also in Islam. It's not a question of everything is very dry and sour, that a person doesn't have any kind of happiness. It's not like that. It's very beautiful deen it is. But the limits are there, and that is where the pressure comes on the nafs, not to go beyond that boundary line. So that training was given in this i'tikaf, that in that small area you restricted yourselves. And no matter what a pretty woman may have been walking on the street or outside, but from your boundary, you didn't even look at that side. And no matter what was the attraction and temptation on that side, not only the haram, even that which was halal, and not that which was normally very rewarding and of great sawab to participate in a janaza namaz, for example. Now what was wrong with that? What was the guna in that? If a janaza came in that sahan section, now what sin you would have committed if you had to go and participate in the janaza salat? And especially in the month of Ramadan, the person who passed away, we know that inshallah is a jannati. Allah Ta'ala sometimes likes some action. We don't know what action Allah Ta'ala likes. That is why we can't run down anybody and say that you are a jahannami. We don't know which action, which part of the night this person shed one or two tears and made tawbah, or what charity he went and gave quietly in somebody's hand, or what ibadat he made quietly. We don't know. And Allah Ta'ala, because of that, gives that person sometimes a Jummah day, and yet he was not even frequenting the masjid very regularly. Sometimes gives him a Ramadan. But that is of course not the rule. That doesn't mean that all of us now we must just give up everything and say we made dua, Allah will give us maut in Ramadan or will give it to us on Jummah day, so we'll get forgiven. Those are bonuses that Allah Ta'ala gives sometimes. But the point is this, that if a janazah had to come in the sehen section and a person had to go and perform the janazah or participate in the janazah, then if we have to use our intelligence, then we would say that no, this person, he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't go there to play tabla and dolak there. Did he go there because he said that this person who passed away used to really enjoy tabla dolak, so that's why I'm going to participate? He's not going for any other sinful thing. He's going to make janazah salat. And there's great rewards for janazah salat. But still this person will sit here and he'll watch the whole crowd there making janazah salat. But he's not going to go out. So not only sins, even those things which we term as ibadat, and very much rewarding ibadat, but the person doesn't go and participate in that. Why? Because it's a hukam of sharia that if you are in i'tikaf, then this is your boundary. You don't go beyond that, even to participate in an ibadat. And everyone abides by those restrictions who is in i'tikaf, sunnat i'tikaf. So alhamdulillah, it is a great ibadat which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave you the tawfiq of participating in. And you must look forward to the to more of such kind of i'tikafs. It must not be that the person makes one i'tikaf and then he says it's enough now for the rest of my life. I don't know where I fell into this trap with my friend encouraging me, but Maulana, for 10 days, no, 10 days, Maulana, so long, don't come out now. Alhamdulillah, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave us health and we had that ability, we used to sit in i'tikaf, sunnat i'tikaf in Saharanpur and many other places and even locally. So we don't look down upon anybody that did not sit. But the thing is that those of you who sat, it's a very great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the parting advice is this, that just as you remained within the hudud and within the limits and within the parameters of sharia, and you did not transgress and did not go across the borderline in i'tikaf, and now when you are out, then remember that a few days we were in that environment and in that masjid within the boundaries. So now too we must always ask ourselves that, am I crossing the border? Am I crossing the border? And we know that if a person crosses the border without passport and he gets arrested, then he lands himself in prison. Or if the person goes, he puts up his building across his boundary and goes on to the other person's boundary, they'll say, break it down. So that is all that is required, that we just ask ourselves that, am I transgressing? Am I going across the border? If the reply is that, no, alhamdulillah, you are within the boundaries, you are within the parameters of sharia, then enjoy yourself within those limits, eat good food, wear good clothes, travel in good car, stay in good home, be cheerful, talk, smile, and within reasonable limits, joke with your friends. All those things are then permissible. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will also be happy with this person. Then when he blesses him with ni'mats, it will be ni'mats out of his pleasure. So that will bring sukoon in the heart. Then this person in those ni'mats will get sukoon in the heart. And if he goes across the borderline, then even if he's getting ni'mats, it's going to bring restlessness in that person's heart. So I make dua, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accept your i'tikaf. Allah ta'ala accept your sujood. Allah ta'ala accept your qiyam. Allah ta'ala accept your fasting. And Allah ta'ala accept all the duas that you made whilst in i'tikaf. And Allah ta'ala bless you with long life, good health, and the opportunity to see many more i'tikafs. And don't forget me also in your duas. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اے اللہ تیرے ان بندوں نے جو اعتکاف کیا اس کو قبول فرما، اے اللہ ان کے صیام کو قبول فرما، ان کی صلات کو قبول فرما، ان کے سجود کو قبول فرما، ان کی تلاوت کو قبول فرما، ان کے ذکر کو قبول فرما، اے اللہ ان کی دعاؤں کو قبول فرما، اے اللہ جو بھی ان سے لغزش غلطی خطا ہو گئی اس کو معاف فرما، او اللہ واٹ ایور ایرر واٹ ایور مسٹیک دے مے ہیو میڈ او اللہ فورگیو دیم، یا اللہ ان دیز ڈیز آف فتنہ، ان دیز ڈیز آف کرپشن، ان دیز ڈیز آف فساد، فار ینگ پیپل ٹو سیکلوڈ دیم سیلوز، او مائی بلوڈ اللہ اٹ از نتھنگ بٹ اے سائن آف محبت اینڈ لو فار یو اینڈ فار یور رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم اینڈ فار یور دین او اللہ، دے فور مائی بلوڈ اللہ آلدو وی کی ناٹ ڈو جسٹس to the ibadah, to the zikr, to the tilawat, to the i'tikaf. But oh my beloved Allah, overlook our shortcoming, our faults, our weakness, and accept the i'tikaf that has been made. اے میرے پیارے اللہ ان کو تو نیک بنا، صالح بنا، دیندار بنا، تیرا قرب نصیب فرما، تیری معرفت عطا فرما، اے اللہ ان کو دین بھی دے اور دنیا بھی دے، اے اللہ بلیس دم ود دا بیسٹ آف دین اینڈ دا بیسٹ آف دنیا. اے میرے پیارے اللہ، اے میرے پیارے اللہ تو راضی ہو جا، میرے اللہ بھی کم پلیزڈ، اے اللہ بھی کم پلیزڈ. اے میرے پیارے خدا، سیو اس اینڈ پروٹیکٹ اس فرام یور غضب، فرام یور اینگر، فرام یور رات. اے اللہ رمضان کا مبارک مہینہ ختم ہو رہا، میرے اللہ تو ہمارے حال پر رحم فرما، اللہ دین اور دنیا کی بھلائیوں سے ہمیں مالا مال فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ سیدنا و نبینا و مولانا محمد و آلہ و اصحابہ اجمعین برحمتک یا لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. لا إله إلا الله 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 اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Oh my beloved Allah, oh my Rahim Allah, Oh my Kareem Allah, oh my most forgiving Allah, compassionate, kind, loving Allah, oh my most tolerant Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Ya Allah, we haven't been able to do justice to the fasting in Ramadan. Ya Allah, in the Mubarak days of Ramadan, in the Mubarak nights of Ramadan, we remain in the same state of negligence and indifference. Ya Allah, so many sins of our eyes we committed, so many sins with our ears we committed, so many sins of the tongues we committed, so many sins of the hands and feet we committed, so many sins of the heart and mind we committed. Ya Allah, we haven't been able to do justice. Ya Allah, the Mubarak month which you sent as a Mubarak guest to us. Ya Allah, we did not show the hospitality that should have been shown to it. O Allah, do not let us be of those whom Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Ameen on the curse of Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam. Ya Allah, when Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam cursed, woe to be and destruction upon those who get the month of Ramadan but do not get blessings, do not get forgiveness of their sins, then Allah Ta'ala's curse be upon them. O Allah, at that time Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, who was rahmatul lil alameen, he said Ameen on that curse. Where Allah, don't let us be of those who have been cursed by Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of negligence in this Mubarak month. Ya Allah, whatever sins we may have committed, forgive us. Ya Allah, these are the Mubarak last minutes of this last day of Ramadan. We don't know, Allah, whether we will see another Ramadan. Ya Allah, accept our fasting. Ya Allah, accept the zikr that we made. Accept the istighfar that we made. Accept the tilawat of the Quran that we made. O Allah, accept our sajdas. O Allah, accept our rukus. O Allah, accept our qiyam. O Allah, accept the duas that we made. O my beloved Allah, overlook our weakness and shortcomings. Ya Allah, forgive our major sins and minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. O my beloved Allah, after Ramadan also give us the tawfiq to stay away from haram. O Allah, in this Mubarak month we stayed away from halal because it was your hukam. O Allah, give us the tawfiq to stay away from everything that is haram and forbidden throughout our lives. Ya Allah, bless us with prosperity, bless us with happiness, bless us with barakat in our sustenance, barakat in our businesses, barakat in our time, barakat in our lives, barakat in our health. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of this world and the best of akhirah. Ya Allah, do not deprive us of the ni'mats of this world and do not deprive us of the ni'mats of akhirah. Ya Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in any disco or cinema or theater or gap or popping drugs in our mouths or bottle of wine in our hands or some adultery or fornication. Ya Allah, when the time of our death comes, let it be shahadat in Madina Tayyibah. And if it is not there, then wherever it may be, O Allah, let it be not in a state that you are displeased with us. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of this world and the best of akhirat. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made duas for us all his life. Ya Allah, all the goodness that he asked for us, bless us with that goodness. Bless the entire ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief and corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, O Allah, protect the entire ummah of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, bless us with purified hearts. Clean and purify our hearts of malice, of greed, of envy, of jealousy, of pride, of arrogance, of evil passions and desires. Ya Allah, put the hatred of sins into our hearts and put the love of good deeds into our hearts. Allahumma salli.